These days, no place seems safe from post-apocalyptic imagination. There's the devastated 22nd century Los Angeles in the movie Elysium. There's the zombie-ridden rural South in TV's The Walking Dead. And now, Concord, New Hampshire. That's where writer Ben Winters set a series of mystery novels with the following twist. The Earth is about to be struck by a giant asteroid. Winters met NPR's Netta Ulaby in Concord for this installment of our summer series, Crime in the City.
It's hard to imagine someplace less apocalyptic than this cheerful diner. All morning sunshine, happy families, and yummy pancakes.
The pancakes are amazing.
Writer Ben Winters says the Corner View restaurant on South Street is a classic. So he picked it as a recurring location in his series. So far, it includes the critically acclaimed books, The Last Policeman and Countdown City.
It's the place where Detective Pallas goes with his buddies to hang out.
Hank Pallas is well over 6 feet tall, only 27 years old, and completely obsessive. He's one of the very few detectives remaining in Concord since people learned about the asteroid. Other cops have deserted their posts to party in New Orleans for the final few months before the Earth is destroyed. Pallas comes here for coffee, or at least he used to.
You can't really get a cup of coffee anymore because of the slow disintegration of infrastructure and agriculture and international shipping, with everybody leaving their jobs and the world falling apart.
Winters refashions noir tropes to suit his stories. For example, now that the world's about to come to an end, nearly everyone started smoking.
The cigarettes, the mysterious women, the cops at late night at the diner.
We leave the diner and hop in the car, where Winters adds he's also playing with noir archetypes, like his hero, the man who cares when everyone else has given up.
That is a familiar type from mystery fiction, but I was like, but wait, what if really nobody else cares? And what if there's a really good reason for that? You know, what if nobody else in the Concord police force cares because the world is ending?
To learn how actual Concord police officers feel about how they're being represented in Winter's books, we visited the station. They were mad. Mad he had forgotten to bring them signed copies.
I thought I was going to get one.
I'll send one. I sent a couple to Joe a long time ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Didn't send one to me.
We're crammed in a tiny blue interrogation room with two of Concord's finest, Lieutenant John Thomas and Officer Ryan Howe, who was sober about the notion of policing in a world on the brink of annihilation.
You imagine the chaos that would be. You'd have people to leave, to be home with their families, but I bet you'd have people stay.
In the books, the economy craters, first slowly, then very fast. Police work becomes about maintaining order, not solving crimes. Missing people are often assumed to be off pursuing a last-minute bucket list. Those who stay and try to hew to some semblance of normal society tend to be librarians, hospital personnel, and law enforcement officers.
Yeah, we were talking about the upstairs, and geez, what would we do? And you're like, oh, geez, I don't know. Some would go home, some would, I don't know, I might be home with my family. If you need 70 days left, or 77, you know?
Granted, it's a pretty far-out question, especially in a town that rarely sees even one murder in any given year. That's not to say Concord's escaped a brush with sensational crime.
There were these toothbrush twins that escaped from Alcatraz. Have you heard about this?
No. Turns out it wasn't Alcatraz, but an Iowa prison in 1945, when two desperados busted out using toothbrushes and embarked on a cross-country crime spree.
But they were both captured here in Concord, New Hampshire.
It's this town's very anodyne peacefulness that appealed to Winters as a setting. He doesn't live here. He came to appreciate Concord through his brother. Andrew Winters moved here 13 years ago to work as a public defender. His law office near downtown comes with a sophisticated alarm system. Just a bell over the door. We asked Winter's brother to verify Concord's status as a non-hotbed of crime.
Concord is, by all objective standards, not a particularly exciting town. I mean, it's a family-oriented town.
Andrew Winter says his Concord friends are pleased and mystified that his brother set his series here.
The difficult reaction is Concord, for people in Concord are like, why Concord?
Why, says Ben Winters, is because Concord is specific and universal. It's an unpretentious New England town that in some ways could be almost anywhere. There's wealth, there's poverty, there's a middle class. It doesn't feel fake.
If you go, there are other places in New England, particularly some of the more coastal towns, that have embraced a sort of preciousness. It's a lot of candle shops and they're selling taffy. Concord doesn't feel like that at all to me. It feels very much like an active place, which probably has to do with the state government being here.
And the state is associated with a certain set of politics.
The libertarian thing is very real. The live free or die thing is very real. Like, there is literally people who move here for the purpose of taking over the government and doing away with it.
Winner says that resonates with the pre-post-apocalyptic series about the slow stripping away of government, regulations, and the institutions that hold society together.
And I said it in a state where there are a lot of people who are like, great, you know, let's do it. Like, that would be all right. I mean, not the end of the world, but certainly the end of the federal government, you know? It's funny.
We're downtown on the intersection of State and Blake. You can see five or six solid blocks of respectable red brick buildings, well kept and occupied. There's the hardware store that in the book jacks up prices every week for increasingly rare basics like light bulbs and shovels. And there's the office building that in Winter's vision gets covered in graffiti, reading lies. It's all lies.
It's really cool to walk around and look at all this stuff again. Oh yeah, I use that, you know.
Then there's the dive bar hidden in an alley where Detective Hank Palace drinks in the book The Last Policeman, when no one else believes a seeming suicide is a murder, because suicides have become a depressing norm.
And on the jukebox, someone has ironically put on the REM song, It's the End of the World as We Know It, and the Tom Waits song, Earth Died Screaming, and the Elvis Costello song, Waiting for the End of the World. I had this sort of moment where they're sitting in the bar, and he's like, everyone is taking this like a big joke.
And why is Detective Hank Palace clinging so seriously to justice that he'll track down missing people and solve homicides in the months and weeks before everyone's about to die?
There's something about him that, in his sort of rigorous, unironic belief in law and order, and his rigorous, unironic mustache, and his rigorous, unironic belief in making promises and keeping them. It's a very old way of looking at the world.
And one that heroes of detective novels fundamentally share in every city, in every setting, in every era. They're the ones who make you think, even in the event of the Earth's coming to an end, that hope for humanity is not entirely lost. Neda Ulibi, NPR News.
The latest from Crime in the City on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.